Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and a market that had turned itself lower and just kind of hung out there all day. I'm going to make an interesting comparison to last week's trends and what we saw this week. What does that mean going into next week, especially when we look at this grain complex as a whole? We have a cattle on feed report. Of course, we're doing this program before the cattle on feed report comes out, so we won't have any concrete numbers, but you knew the markets really were watching what those numbers would have to say, and that's kind of how they traded throughout the day. Sue Martin is joining us. Sue is with Ag and Investment in Clarion, Iowa, and I got to bring up this comparison because you talked about last week how we set some highs and how we finished out, and then how we looked at this week setting some highs and how we finished out.
Well, we have. We've done both weeks very much the same. Higher highs for the week on Thursday, and then Friday was a corrective day, a good corrective day both weeks. And this week, though, last week we closed higher for the week. This week we're closing lower for the week. So I think we're going to start off next week, and it wouldn't surprise me if Sunday night, Monday, we start off making lower lows for the week. From today, we're down, and then we look at this week's lows and try to go after that. So, you know, the products, you had soybean oil down hard today, down $1.15 on the May contract, and they were all sharply lower. And soy meal, which helped us rally so strongly yesterday, along with bean oil, was up sharply. Now today it's down $5.20 a ton. So, you know, beans didn't really get much help today. And then there's talk of rains through a lot of the Safrina corn areas, although that didn't seem to bother the corn market super much today. We still close lower, but it may be that the wheat market, which was nicely stronger today, might have helped hold the corn at bay from dropping too much. I think corn will be weaker early next week to start. One thing we need to keep in mind is, yes, next week's a very important week because we have the quarterly stocks on Thursday and also the prospective plantings report. Well, if you look at next Thursday and we have that, well, then you also have no markets on Friday and you're going into a long weekend and the end of a month and an end of a quarter. So I think we're going to see some increased volatility a little bit as we roll into April. And I think that you're going to see traders trying to level positions here for a little bit. And we've had a huge increase in open interest in corn this week. I think into yesterday, we had seen an increase in open interest of over 44,000 contracts since late last week. That's huge. And that was new buying coming into the market, managed money, I think, coming into the marketplace. So we need to keep an eye. We have the Dow, the stock market up sharply from a year ago, and also at all-time record highs. And so we need to be very watchful of that stock market because there is concerns, and there's been talk of this, that April could hold some surprising happenings or occurrences, black swans that could happen. Will it happen? I don't know. Is it tied to the eclipse? It could be. I hope it don't happen, but I know that there is that concern, and it's out there that will have a big impact on markets in April. And so then we're also rolling into April, and it's planting season, and farmers in Nebraska, I hear lots of the ground is worked, ready to go. You guys, I don't think, caught much moisture. We had a couple of inches of snow, and I think they even have more the further south you go towards Des Moines. But, you know, we need moisture badly, and you have Minnesota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri. You know, we're all really, really dry and could use some nice moisture. Snow, okay, we'll take it. It's better than nothing, but it doesn't amount to much. When you only have a couple inches, how much moisture are you really getting? Not much.
Yeah, you know, and that's been the frustrating part, I think, is the lack of moisture that has been seen. We haven't had any here in a while, and I know there's the potential to come our way. Now, looking at, since we're talking about spring planting, have you continued to hear the uptick in the acre wars that are seeming to be picked up because of what's happened in the cotton and what we might see in corn and beans?
Well, we are hearing some. Now, if cotton picks up more acres, which it should for the price that level that it's gotten to, I would think that it could pull away from beans. You know, here's the other thing. If we go in and it looks like we get an earlier spring, which it feels like it is already an earlier spring, you know, farmers love to plant corn. And you can, you know, they can say, well, it's not as profitable as beans, but, you know, they love to plant corn. And I can see where the corn acres could be higher here this year than what we started off talking about. You know, originally it was around 90 million acres. Then it went to maybe 91. Now you've got people talking 93. And so we'll see what happens. The other thing we have to keep in mind is the USDA in the, I think it was in the Ag Forum Outlook, was talking about a yield starting off at 181. You know, that is huge, way above anything we did last year in a good producing year. And, of course, if you take the average of the last 5 years, it's way above that. So I don't know. There's room to come down. Now, the bean acres, I keep hearing in the northern states, like, of course, Minnesota, especially the northern half, but more like North Dakota into Montana and South Dakota, I'm hearing talk that the bean acres especially may exceed rather than planting canola or other crops because of the fact that the beans are the only thing that's really making money. And so I've had producers out in those areas telling me they're really going to expand in bean acres. So
we've got a lot more coming up as we get ready here for the second half. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation continues with Sue Martin. Sue, of course, is with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. You made a comment to me, and I like kind of the description, is we know that China has been doing a lot of different things right now when it comes to acquiring their grains, but you put it the best, China's draining everyone's cupboards. And I thought that really puts it into perspective of what's going on.
Well, I think so. I think China has been, first off, by them being sort of absent from our market, especially in soybeans, that is helping the price drop because they are the world's largest importer, and therefore they were used to be number one customer of the U.S. Now they're putting, you know, moving all of their attention into everywhere else, but they're going to drain everyone else's cupboards, and then the U.S., in the meantime, prices drop, helps them buy cheaper around the world. They're very savvy when it comes to trade. And in the meantime, they're great at trying to talk the market down, too. But you watch their actions rather than their words. And of course, right now, we have to admit they're not big customers of the U.S. But they have been importing lots of soy meal, or not soy meal, but corn, sorghum, barley, soybeans from other parts of the world. And, of course, you know, we realize that because they haven't been as aggressive in our bean market, we wonder if by chance the USDA is going to have to adjust the exports down in the reports. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, our quarterly stocks report next week will be rubbed back off into the supply-demand report in April. But, you know, you've had the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange. They have recently, just overnight, they lowered the production for corn by 2.5 million metric tons, mainly because there were some parts of the country that were just extremely hot and dry. And so that hurt that crop. And then they got hit with floods in other parts of the country that wasn't real good for beans, but also especially for corn. And they're talking about some diseases in the corn crop too. So, you know, they lowered the expectation that they held by 2.5 million metric tons, which was a pretty good step back. But the market didn't seem to care today about that. It's the end of a week. And of course, we're going into a government report week. So we're going to have the market, I think, seeing some pretty good leveling of positions, positioning, or however you want to call it, because that report gets out on Thursday. And then we look at Friday and there's no markets and we have a long weekend, end of a quarter, end of a month.
I don't know about you, but it's hard to believe that we're already talking Easter next week.
I know it. And to think the first quarter of this year is already gone, just about. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how fast time's flying.
Yes, it is. Let's look at this cattle market, because there's a lot, I mean, we don't have the numbers as of yet, but so much anticipation. And I'm wondering why, what you're hearing, why are we seeing such a push for this report compared to a cattle on feed report that we've seen in January or February?
Well, I think one thing is this report is expected to show more placements. And, of course, it's that, you know, the wheat pastures, you know, coming out of dormancy pushes that. And they came out of dormancy earlier than normal. So I think that's helped push, you know, the placements in February to be a little more aggressive. And, you know, we've had concerns with, okay, another thing I think is the concerns of cattle that how well they handled the smoke and the damage to their lungs and what have you in the fires in Texas and on into Oklahoma. And so we're even hearing talk that in the dairies, there's like 14 dairies, the last I knew, in Texas that were dealing with kind of a strange virus or what have you, but it causes the cows to not provide as much milk. In fact, it's a marked drop in the amount of milk that they provide. And so that some of these cows are going to probably be going to market, and that adds to it also. Another thing that's kind of been occurring, if you look at the coast, the East Coast, Northeast especially, and then you look at the California coast, the weather hasn't been the best on both coasts. And therefore, that I'm wondering if that hasn't hurt demand a little bit, along with being in Lent. But I'm wondering if that hasn't hurt the demand for restaurants and business, because I think business is down.
Well, lots of things to look at as we get ready for, as you say, a report week next week, and then the holiday on top of it all will be a very interesting trading week. Best way for folks to get a hold of you, Sue?
Well, our number is 1-800-527-0051. And y'all have a great day. And if I don't talk to you before, Susan, you have a good Easter as well.
Well, thanks so much. Sue Martin's joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. As we get ready to wrap up National Ag Week, thank you, folks, for what you do every single day. It's a Channel Final Bell brought to you by your Channel Seed Professional on the Rural Radio Network.